Shipping can make or break a sale. As your business grows, ShipStation can help you optimize how you ship your orders so you can stay competitive while you scale up. Whether you're shipping 100 packages a month or thousands, ShipStation lets you automate routine shipping tasks and easily handle returns. Over 130,000 companies, including my own, have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation. And 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. Optimize and keep up your momentum for growth with ShipStation. Use promo code RESPECT today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code RESPECT. If you're a wine lover like me, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I found the most personalized wine club that has amazing wines and exclusive perks. It's called First Leaf. As a First Leaf member, I get to discover new wines I'm guaranteed to enjoy. Being part of the First Leaf Wine Club also has its perks. As a member, I get access to their incredibly helpful wine concierge. So if I want wine pairing advice or to talk about the wines in my box, I can always speak with one of their experts. Plus, I get member exclusive pricing on every order. Join the club today and discover new wines you'll love with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet to get your first box. That's tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet. tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet. This just in. Body odor is officially canceled. For good this time. Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi Body Deodorant is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet and, yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free bottles of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code RATCHET5 at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code RATCHET5. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those who don't identify as either, you are listening to Ratchet and Respectable. Y'all, my whole body hurts right now. Last time we spoke, I think I recorded super late on Friday night. I've been working all day unexpectedly, trying to do the website for the merchandise drop for See Some World. But I recorded the podcast, edited the podcast, and I was still up super late. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. And just opened the shop at 1 o'clock in the morning. I just put it on my Instagram. Tons of people showed up. And I was like, really? Ain't none of y'all sleep. I left the store open for a couple hours and then I closed it again and then relaunched it phase two on Saturday morning. And most of the stuff sold out relatively quickly. Within an hour, a good chunk of it was gone. All the sweatshirts, there are two crew necks left on the site, but otherwise it's a few t-shirts and tank tops. The tank tops are in every size. Selling tank tops when it's still cold outside is admittedly a hard sell. So we'll save them for summer. There's no rush. I am going to do a restock. Many people have hit me, some more polite than others. I will do a restock, but it's not going to be in the next couple months. I'll be back in the States in June. I'll be here all summer. I will save the restock for then. I'm returning to Ghana on Sunday. I told you last week that there have been internet outages in several countries in Africa, Ghana being one of them. The official statement out of Ghana is that full internet will not be restored to the country for 5 weeks. So I'm not quite sure what I'm walking into when I get back. I talked to Davida yesterday and she said internet is better than it was. She did say that it goes in and out and that it comes on for 20-minute increments and then goes out again for who knows how long. So people are able to get internet intermittently throughout the day. I don't feel comfortable with my team not being able to communicate with me in the middle of a merch drop. So I'll just save it until I get back in June. I was already planning to do a merch drop in June anyway. there are more items, because I've mentioned these to you before, there are more items that I wanted to do for Season Worlds, manageability and scaling and all that other stuff. Like, you can't do, I can't do everything at once. Like, we'll build it out. It's a process. The $1 million question is like, so why exactly are you going back to Ghana with no internet access? Well, boys and girls, and those who don't identify as either, I'm flying back to Ghana for a week, and then I'm moving to South Africa. But my ticket to South Africa is from Ghana, and all my stuff is still in Ghana. I came home, and I was supposed to be here for 3 weeks. I was supposed to leave on the 13th, and then I extended my trip for a bunch of reasons. One of them is my event tonight. Another one was to manage the merchandise drop. Okay, but I extended my trip, so now I'll go back to Ghana, literally for 10 days. Hang out with my friends, celebrate Easter. I've never done Easter in Ghana. Apparently it's very religious, but also like a complete turn up, kind of like Christmas. So we'll see. But I'm going back for that experience. And then I'm relocating to Cape Town this time. If you are a long-term follower of the podcast, I would just like to inform you that the apartment in Cape Town does have an inverter. So my power will not be going out multiple times a day for hours at a time. I still can't believe I was doing a podcast and also in the writer's room for a TV show through all of that. Which, by the way, the show is shooting right now. I'm not able to make it up to New York this trip. Or am I able? Yes. Do I have the stamina, endurance to do so? No. I was planning to go up to New York on Thursday, and I decided to do a spa day in D.C. instead. It's New York. It's not going anywhere. I do think the Swizz and Alicia exhibition will be gone by the time I get back. There is a new exhibition about Harlem. My mentor, who's like a 60-year-old Jewish man, sent it to me. Apparently, there was a huge write-up in the New York Times. And he was like, when you come to New York, we should go. He's very excited about this Harlem exhibition. And I was like, yeah, that's what's up. He's always a good time. He was my professor when I was in grad school. Apparently, I was a good student. I made an impression. Who knew? But yeah, I've done the most. And I'm still doing the most. Like, I'm taping this podcast at, it's 1:19 right now on Tuesday. I've got a 3:30 appointment to get my makeup done. I'm going straight from the makeup artist to the venue. I'm hosting my first Ratchet and Respectable Live in DC tonight. I'm a bit nervous about the audience. We probably should have done a much bigger venue, but for the first Ratchet and Respectable Live, I wanted it to be very intimate. And actually, just me being me going forward, I'd probably rather do more shows than make it into bigger venues. That's my preference. We'll see what the team thinks about that. So, but yeah, like, I'm really excited about tonight. We talked about my special guest, Angel Gregorio, of the Spice Suite fame, and then Black and Forth. She built a strip mall in D.C. So I'm really, really excited to be in conversation with her. She's one of my favorite people. So yeah, that's D.C. life. I don't think I've actually left the house since we spoke last Friday. I launched the merchandise in the middle of the night and then again on Saturday morning. And then we got to packing all day Saturday, all day Sunday. We were trying to get as much merchandise ready to ship on Monday as possible. It was the first business day, so the mail truck could come pick it up. We put a whole lot of packages on that mail truck. I posted a picture of it on Instagram. That was not even half. I told my parents they could have their garage back on Tuesday. That was a lie. I'm leaving on Sunday. They'll get it back before I go. That's for sure. Maybe tomorrow. It's slated to be done tomorrow. We'll see. I did have a little downtime, though, or I made some downtime. On Sunday, I forced myself to stop packing because it got cold outside, too. Like, my whole body hurts. So I took a bath. My apartment in Ghana doesn't have a bathtub. My parents' house does. I was in there with my lavender Epsom salt, and I broke out my friend's book. Remember I told you I had this 3-hour lunch when I was in LA with one of my favorite people, Michael Arsenault. He is an amazing writer on all mediums. He's a New York Times best-selling author, but he just dropped a new book on Tuesday. It's called Finally Bought Some Jordans. He had these book titles. The first book title was called I Can't Date Jesus. I got in so much trouble once for saying a phrase that was slightly more provocative than that title on national TV. My mother told me I went too far and said I needed to apologize. What I said wasn't untrue, though. It was true. It's just, you know, a bit blasphemous in the way that I put it. But Michael's first book title is I Can't Date Jesus, which is absolutely amazing. And I just told you his new book title, finally bought some Jordans. He gave me a signed copy of his book when I was in LA. I finally got a chance to get into it when I was in the bathtub the other night. You know, I sat in the bathtub till the water got cold reading this fool's book. And I call him a fool because he is out of his mind. And his stories are so, like, if I tried to tell you the premise of it, you'd be like, I don't get it. But you gotta read it. Like, his way of putting a story together, he's one of those writers that writes in the way that he speaks, which is very difficult to do, just FYI, and very hard to get past editors. He has this very distinctive writing voice, and he has this very distinctive way of telling a story. So, like, one of the stories is about him living in Harlem and having loud neighbors. And just to tell you that detail, you're like, okay, like, how is this funny? But the way he tells a story and the way he describes people, like the loud neighbor he calls Drunk Millie Jackson for a variety of reasons, like, it's just, it's stupid, but it's hilarious. Or he talks about, like, how, as a writer, he writes about pop culture. Sometimes people say really dumb things, and as a writer, he points out that the shit they said or did was dumb. But then as he's advanced in his career, he ends up meeting and interacting with these people and kind of needing money from them in order to fund his projects. So he just talks about the awkwardness of, you know, being in a room with people that you've publicly dragged because they've said dumb shit. And then he's got this story about his barber set up a mobile barbershop on a bus during COVID. His barber has all these conspiracy theories, which he like tells him about. In between trying to get him to try different men's hair techniques, his barber approached him about trying out a man weave because he had watched it on the internet and he was trying to expand his practice and he was insulted. It's absolutely hilarious. Like, I almost dropped the book in the bathtub. That's why I got out. Not even because the water's cold, because I almost dropped the damn book. He's super funny. And the weird part about Michael is in person, he has this very dry wit. So it, like, he says something and then you have to like take a beat for it to fully register. He's so good. I'm really enjoying his book. Hopefully we get him to come on the podcast, which I have to record before I leave for Ghana because I don't know what the internet access situation would be. It was hard doing interviews in Ghana as it was, even though I have regular internet. Things like recording interviews on Zencaster, it takes up a lot of bandwidth. There's a lot of pausing. And the call keeps dropping. Same thing with Zoom. It gets really frustrating. Maybe I can knock that out before I go. I also looked at flights in the middle of the night last night. And I was like, do I need to change my flight again? We'll work on the flight situation. If it needs to be worked on. It might be good to be offline for a while. Which, by the way, you understand that I'm telling you this in case I can't upload the podcast, right? For a week and a half. I'm just letting you know. I'm giving you a heads up of what the situation could be. I'm going to do the best that I can to mitigate it, but it's a possibility. Don't freak out. Shipping can make or break a sale. As your business grows, ShipStation can help you optimize how you ship your orders so you can stay competitive while you scale up. Whether you're shipping 100 packages a month or thousands, ShipStation lets you automate routine shipping tasks and easily handle returns. I've been using ShipStation for over 3 years, since the very start of my e-commerce business. I started with a free trial and it was so easy to use. The setup was so quick. I decided to sign up and I have no regrets. ShipStation is the most affordable way to ship everything you sell online. They have industry-leading discount rates from USPS, UPS, DHL, and Global Post, with discounts up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. Over 130,000 companies, including my own, have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation. And 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. Optimize and keep up your momentum for growth with ShipStation. Use promo code RESPECT today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code RESPECT. If you're a wine lover like me, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I found the most personalized wine club that has amazing wines and exclusive perks. It's called First Leaf. As a First Leaf member, I get to discover new wines I'm guaranteed to enjoy. That's because First Leaf gets to know your unique preferences. To start, I answered a few quick questions on their website about what flavors I like. how often I drink wine, and if I prefer red, white, or rosé. Based on my answers, First Leaf curated an amazing selection of wines just for me. And when I rate those wines, my wine selection gets even more tailored. I ordered rosés and full body reds. It was so easy to join and to set up shipping. Best of all, I get to choose when I want my box delivered and how often I get new assortments of wine. Being part of the First Leaf Wine Club also has its perks. As a member, I get access to their incredibly helpful wine concierge. So if I want wine pairing advice or to talk about the wines in my box, I can always speak with one of their experts. Plus, I get member exclusive pricing on every order. Join the club today and discover new wines you'll love with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet to get your first box. That's tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet. tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet. Oh, I watched the news, which I only bring up because I'm not used to watching American news. All y'all talk about is Trump and shit getting shot up. Trump, guns. Abortion. Trump, guns. That's American news in a nutshell. The funniest story to me, though, is Trump was found liable. I'm pulling this up on the Washington Post. So I want to make sure I get this right. Trump was found civilly liable in a Manhattan state court for, quote, engaging in illegal acts to defraud banks and insurance companies by lying about the true value of his assets to falsely obtain profits and savings in business over a decade. So he's found liable. He has to pay $450 million American USD dollars and dineros. Essentially, he doesn't have the money and he wants to appeal the case. So he's been trying to get insurance companies and banks, the same people that the Manhattan State Court just determined that he'd been engaging in illegal acts to defraud banks and insurance companies. He's now going to banks and insurance companies trying to get them to cover this $450 million bond. His lawyers went to court yesterday and said, we've approached all the major insurers, all the major banks. We've talked to 30 of them. We're doing everything we can to get you this money, but nobody will insure us. Here's why this matters. Manhattan wants its monies. Trump has it. He's just not liquid for it. He has it in real estate. So Manhattan is like, okay, if you can't get insurers or banks to front the money while you want to go ahead with this appeal, which is really just the delay tactic. So here's what happens if Trump doesn't pay. As of Monday, still reading this on the Washington Post, it says the state attorney general can get a green light from a court to enforce the financial judgment. State law allows her office to instruct law enforcement to deliver execution notices, similar to subpoenas, to banks or other parties that hold a defendant's assets, i.e., they can drain his accounts. Staff from the New York City Marshals or the Sheriff's Office, if the asset is real estate, can go to collect the debtor's assets. That can include going to defendants' homes or businesses and hauling away expensive cars or pieces of artwork. Oh dear. Does that mean they're gonna go up in Mar-a-Lago and start taking shit out? I'd love to see it. CNN, MSNBC, Al Jazeera, BBC, YouTubers. I want everybody there. I want that shit caught in all angles. What's that Monique meme? I would like to see it. Still on the Washington Post, it says, in some instances, enforcement might require the state attorney general's office to spend time determining where a defendant's assets are located. But because the case with Trump revolved around his assets and chronicled them in great detail, they likely already have much or all of the information they need. Oh, dear. You know what? I said this about the Brooklyn Bishop last week. Had Trump just kept on being an amusing celebrity, if he kept on doing his TV shows, if he kept on being this real estate guy, this flashy guy with his gold apartment, with his name on all this New York real estate, they probably would have just left him alone. But you wanted to do shiesty criminal shit and you wanted to go run for office and tell people to inject bleach, shithole countries. I think the most recent thing with him is he was referring to immigrants, particularly Mexican immigrants, as not even human, which I was like, oh, no. I've read up on World War II. This is how it started with the Jews. I've been to Rwanda. So you start othering people, trying to make them subhuman. They were calling one group cockroaches, and the next thing you know, they were telling people to kill them. And people were like, well, what's the problem? They're not even human. We've seen this before, people. Black folks in America, 3/5 of a human to justify slavery. We've seen this before, people. I speak up for moral reasons because it's the right thing to do, but also too, and additionally, it's a short direct line for the people who are like, Mexicans are subhuman. The people who are comfortable othering Mexican folk and trying to make them subhuman are never really big fans of the black people or the women people. So yes, I have moral reasons for speaking up, but also I have very clear selfish reasons for speaking up. Because as soon as you're done with them, you coming for me. Trump already hints at this all the time. Like, oh, the blacks, they love me. Now that I have a mugshot, everything that he says about black folks indicates that he don't really like us. He sees us as a permanent underclass, a criminal underclass at that. His in-game plan for blacks ain't no better than what his in-game is for Mexicans. I really can't believe he's about to be the presidential nominee again. And not just the presidential nominee. I genuinely believe he's going to fuck around and be president. How? I don't know. The man got a million open felony cases. You can't get a job at McDonald's with that, but you can run for president. I don't understand America sometimes. I saw Oprah had a special. I didn't watch it. We'll save a conversation on that until I get a chance to watch it, if I watch it. I don't know if I really care about Oprah and Ozempic. Like, yeah, you want it. You want to have a national discussion about it. Like, I don't care. I did see some folks who watched it. They said it basically seemed like an infomercial for weight loss drugs. Okay. I didn't see this Dawn and Elon interview either that aired last night, I guess on YouTube. I just didn't have the bandwidth to watch. I do want to see that though. I told y'all I wanted to see that, especially because there's so much controversy around it. I actually want to know what exactly Dawn asked and what Elon responded. I did see a clip where he was talking about race and he was like, yeah, I think too many things are about racism. Like, we all just need to move on. And I was like, sir, you can't even move on in your home country. How you going to show up in somebody else's country and tell them how they need to move on from race? White people always want to move on from shit. Like, can we stop talking about it? We can stop talking about it if y'all stop being racist. This is white folks holding up the progress on this. Black people would love to move on from racism. We would like nothing more. That's literally white people holding that shit up. You are the problem and the solution. Like, you fix it. That's your shit to fix. You started it. You can also end it. You choose not to. That's a choice. It's deliberate. Also, I just find, we talked about this on a podcast a couple years ago. There were several lawsuits at one of the Tesla factories. Like, black people were suing left and right and getting judgments because of the amount of racism that they were experiencing at work. Blatant shit, like calling black people straight up N-words. But I was like, yeah. It's very disingenuous. I mean, just the part of the interview that I saw and how uncomfortable Elon looked, because unlike Shannon Sharp, that's a stray. Don Lemon asked follow-up questions and you could see Elon visibly squirming on camera. He did more for Don firing him for X than if he just let the interview run, to be quite honest. I told y'all from even before Don got fired, I'm just going to watch the first 2 to 5 minutes to make sure Don gets his stream. So it counts for his bottom line, but I don't really want to watch this interview with Elon Musk. And then now, because of all the controversy, I'm like, grab the popcorn. Let's settle in and see what happened. I saw some of the NAACP awards. I was still in the garage packing up merchandise, so I didn't catch everything. My mom had the door open and the TV on so I could hear it. So I would run back in the kitchen when I heard something exciting happen. From the parts that I saw, and the whole thing is playing on BET, I just couldn't watch it on my laptop. From what I saw, it was a good award show. I haven't seen people complaining about it online. People usually don't for the NAACP awards. The BET awards get hit hard sometimes, but the NAACP awards is consistently a solid production. I saw a New Edition got honored. They were inducted into the NAACP Image Awards Hall of Fame. Good for them. I saw a clip of Ronnie talking. I thought it was an old clip from years ago because he looked so good and fresh, like his skin looks fresh. I was like, oh, is this an old clip? And then it was like, no, that's from last night. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? He looks really good. I saw Usher. He got 2 awards. Entertainer of the Year. And there was another one. All I saw was he had his titties out. He's been doing that a lot lately. Oh, a couple times. At the Vanity Fair party, he had on a shirt that like was cut like a real low V-neck. And you could see like his man cleavage. I don't know if I like it or not. I liked it in the Laquan Smith. That was the one from the NAACP Awards. The black. I think the white. I don't know. Maybe I just didn't like the cut of the outfit. Because I like the titties. He looked really good in the Laquan Smith. It's giving some sort of like androgynous thing that's really exciting to me. Like, I'm still mad at Usher. But I still like Usher. He was presented his award by Oprah Winfrey. I don't mean this as no disrespect because I really do like Oprah bunches and bunches and bunches. This is the best Oprah's ever looked. The woman is 69. I think she's about to turn 70. I don't think she turned 70 yet. She looks amazing. Amazing. And people are like, oh, but she took Ozempic. She didn't lose it. She didn't go to the gym. I don't give a fuck how she lost it. She looks amazing. When I was talking last week about some people are doing too much Ozempic, like some people look better, bigger, Oprah's not one of them. And I thought she was fine. She had lost some size in recent years, and I thought she looked really good. She was dressing nice. She was flipping her ponytail around. Her makeup was nice. Like, I thought she looked really nice. But Oprah on this Ozempic, this is the best Oprah yet. At 70, she looks amazing. Coleman Domingo won. He won for Rustin. Best actor, and also best supporting for The Color Purple. I really love Coleman Domingo. I have very warm feelings about him. And also, I wanted to see his outfit. All award season, he has just been releasing the fabric. He's looked fabulous. He's on set in Toronto. He made a video explaining why he wasn't at the award show. So, bruh's working. He is securing the bag. That's the only reason he wasn't there. But good for him. Abbott Elementary won best comedy series. And Quinta Brunson, she won Best Comedy Actress. I'm reading on Hollywood Reporter. This is her 3rd NAACP award for her starring role in the ABC sitcom. Amanda Gorman, the black girl poet. I guess she's a young woman now. But Amanda Gorman, she was recognized with the Chairman's Award. And she delivered a poem. The Color Purple. Y'all know how I feel about the new Color Purple. I love that film. I'm still watching it. Not every night. I watch This Is Us most nights before I go to bed. But I still watch The Color Purple, the new one, the musical, on a regular basis. It got 11 NAACP awards. I think it's so deserving. I think it's an amazing film. This woman was literally cursing me on Twitter yesterday. She added me too. She was like, I will never forgive Demetria Lucas for telling me this was a good film. It was horrible. I love this film. Although, because my friends complained about it so bad. Every time I get to the Shug Avery scene and they're like singing Shug Avery's coming to town. And Shug is sitting there in the car in the middle of the town. I'm like, she's not coming. Shug Avery's here. Shug's here. She's right there. Just turn around. Look, she's right there. Like, I think about the flaws that they pointed out. And still, I love this film. Fantasia gave a speech that I would say went viral. I see her and that speech from Damson Idris because he won too. I see their 2 speeches everywhere. Fantasia won for her role as Celie. She said she didn't prepare a speech because she didn't think she was going to win. Which, in fairness to her, throughout award season, I don't think The Color Purple got its just due. So her not preparing a speech isn't really that far-fetched to me. She said, which I liked, she said, this doesn't make me, this receiving of the award, she said, this doesn't make me, but I am very thankful for it. And then she started singing To God Be the Glory. So the broadcast version is obviously focused on Fantasia from the angle of the audience. There's a version circulating on YouTube that's from the side of the stage. It's slightly behind Fantasia, so you can see the audience reacting. The first, God be the glory, you know, the crowd makes a bunch of noise. The second, to God be the glory, the crowd is on his feet. By the time she gets to for the things that he has done, it's a full-on church service in the auditoriums. Fantasia brought the house down with that one. Like, I've watched it over and over and over and over, and I was like, damn, I really should have gone back to LA for the NAACP Awards. It was physically impossible. And technically, I didn't have a ticket, but I feel like I could have finagled one. Somebody knows somebody who can get me into the NAACP Awards. In general, I said I don't like going to award shows. It's much more fun to watch them on TV, to be quite honest. I've been to a few. But the NAACP Awards, I feel like everybody was there. And everybody was there, like, show the fuck out. Of all the award shows in terms of the fashion, and I might just be partial because I'm black looking at black people, but in terms of, like, the fashion, the style, the most people bringing their A game, the most times, like, I was looking at outfits and gasping was looking at the photos from the NAACP Awards. Like, folks did good for the Oscars and the SAG Awards, the Emmys, like, all of that. Yeah, yeah, I see you. But the NAACP Awards, when I was like, oh, maybe it was just more people who I just, like, genuinely care about. I don't know. I'm going to try to go next year. I don't know where I'll be in the world. What are we, in February? Oh, no, I'm not flying back from Asia. If I fly back from Asia to America, I'm going to just be in America. That's a long flight. And last but not least, I want to mention Damson Idris. Damson Idris on Snowfall. There are at least three different moments that I can think of on these separate scenes alone. He should have been nominated for a bunch of shit across the boards, and especially an Emmy. He is a really phenomenal actor, and he did really, really good work on Snowfall. And his brick by brick speech should have got him an Emmy nod of some kind. And his bodies, 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 bodies speech should have got him an Emmy, at least the nomination. And in the final scene of Snowfall, when he comes shuffling out like The Walking Dead, should have got him an award. Something. Something. He should have left with something. He's been nominated for Best Actor at the NAACP Awards several times, but he's never won until this year. And, oh my God, why am I getting choked up? I think it's because of the mom thing. He got the award, and in his speech, he says that his mother flew 17 hours from Nigeria to come to the award show with him. And she told him, Damson, if I fly all the way to Los Angeles, you better win. And he did. He's making this announcement on stage, and he's speaking to his mother in the audience. And he's biting his lip. It's almost like a mom, watch me, watch me, watch me. And then you do a thing, and then you're like, mom, did you see it? Did you see it? Did you see it? It was very much that energy. Kid wanting parents' approval. And his mom, she was standing in the audience. The camera zooms in on her. She has tears in her eyes of pride and joy. Pride for her son, joy at his accomplishment. It was just such a beautiful, beautiful moment. I watched that clip at least four or five times the first time I saw it. It was just such a beautiful, beautiful moment between mother and son. Yeah, I'm so mad I didn't go to the NAACP Awards. Again, physically not possible. But I was like, next year, I want to go. I feel like I missed a moment. My friend who was like, fly back out, fly back out. Like, maybe I should have taken that more seriously. There were a bunch of people that got awards throughout the week that weren't mentioned at the actual awards. Sherry Shepherd took home the award for Outstanding Host in a Talk or News Information Series. Ayo Itabiri from The Bear. She's been racking up awards all season. She got Best Supporting Actress from NAACP. Best Drama Series went to Queen Charlotte. Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series went to Bel-Air's Adrian Holmes, a.k.a. Uncle Phil. Y'all know how I feel about Bel-Air. I love that show. Gail Bean, that's the homie from Snowfall. Best Supporting Actress. She played Wanda. She should have got an Emmy nod, too. Her story arc on that show was insane. From, like, drug dealer girlfriend to, like, full-blown crack addict who tried to sell a tooth to, like, upstanding community wife who went to Ghana. Come on. Come on. Swarm. Remember that weird show that was a limited series? I think it was Donald Glover's show. Malia Obama was one of the writers. It was about, like, the beehive, even though they said it wasn't about the beehive, but it was so clearly about the beehive. That one best TV movie limited series or dramatic special category. Ava DuVernay won best directing for a motion picture for Origin. Court Jefferson, who I can pick out of a lineup now because he won an Oscar. He won outstanding writing in a motion picture for American Fiction. And then singer-songwriter Frankie Beverly, he received NAACP's Image Awards Lifetime Achievement Award. Good for him. Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options, feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that'll make your taste buds swoon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that are simple in minutes, Home Chef has you and the entire family covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef also has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. And this is my favorite part. Not only is it convenient, but it's also economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/ratchet. That's homechef.com/ratchet for 18 fee-free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/ratchet. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. This just in. Body Odor is officially canceled. For good this time. Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi Body Deodorant is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet and, yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole-body deo has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me, who love smelling great and feeling confident from head to toe. Special offer. New customers get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with code RATCHET5 at LumiDeodorant.com. Now, I love Lumi. I've been using it for months. Admittedly, I was very skeptical. I did not think it was going to work. I knew a bunch of people who had tried it. They swore by it. So I said, okay, I'll give it a try for a few days. If I smell bad, I'm going back to my old deodorant. I didn't smell bad, so I kept using Lumi. Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Pits, underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, feet, and more. Unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. So more like a pre-deodorant. It's also baking soda free and paraben free and pH balanced for safe use below the belt. You can also choose a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, my personal favorite, and toasted coconut. Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free bottles of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi Starter Pack with code RATCHET5 at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code RATCHET5.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
We have a couple more things. Where are we with time? Because I told you I got to run and get my makeup done. Oh, we have a little more time. Regina King, she's been, for very good reason, laying low. Just a little over 2 years ago, her son died by suicide. And obviously she's been reeling and also working. So she did this interview with Robin Roberts for GMA about both, I don't know if the word, her recovery, because I don't think that's something you ever really recover from, about her grief, her grieving, I should say, because it's ongoing. And then also her new film. She is playing Shirley Chisholm in a new movie, Shirley, for Netflix. First Black woman to run for president of the United States. In 1969, no less. I was like, it was far-fetched when Kamala did it, what, 4 years ago? 1969? The hell that woman must have endured. I don't know Shirley Chisholm's story that well. I just know the overview, but I guess we're about to find out. It's actually going to be in theaters on Friday. If I get a chance to see it before I go, I will. But it drops globally on March 27th on Netflix. This is Regina King's first interview since her son has passed. Me, myself, personally, I wouldn't have addressed it. Maybe she felt like she had to, because it was such a public story. Maybe she wanted to. I don't know. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the choice she made to address it. For me, I wouldn't have given that to the public. It was a lot. It was a lot. She did good. There was no part in the interview that I thought she's not ready to do this. And I did feel really bad for her, but she didn't lose it. She kept her composure. She did this thing at one point, though, while she was talking. She put her index finger up to her neck, and it's like a pressure point, like right under your ear, and she appeared to be pressing on it to, I guess, keep her composure or stabilize herself, settle herself, whatever you need, sis, whatever you need. I just happened to notice it as she was talking, and she did it. She held it there for a while when she was talking about her son, and I was just like, oh no, I didn't want to see her lose it. And if she did, that would have been fine. It would have been understandable. I just, for her, I didn't want to see it. I don't want to see, for entertainment, for ratings, someone just lose it on national television. It just, and then for that to just be replayed over and over and over. It's not like I don't want her to lose it because I think it's undignified or something like that. Like, that's not at all what I'm saying. I just didn't want her pain to be publicly exploited. I'm protective of her. She's Brenda from 227. When she won an Oscar, that's the first thing I said. I was like, Brenda Dunn won an Oscar. Like, that's sis. I've been knowing that lady, at least from TV, my whole life. And when she wasn't even a lady, she was just a teenager. Like, I've grown up watching Regina King. I felt so bad for her. But she talked about the journey of grief. And she gave this quote, which is, you know, been circulating online. She said that grief is love that has no place to go. She talked about her son's depression and the heaviness of it. She said that people are confused sometimes about what depression looks like. They have this idea in their head that, remember there was some like commercial about depression. It was like this little lump. It was like a circle with a sad face, and it was like bumping around like really slowly. And I'm like, that's what people think depression looks like. People don't realize that you can be outwardly happy. You can be the life of the party, and you can also be in the middle of a full-blown, full-on depressive episode. maybe I shouldn't say episode, but you can be full on depressed and not quote unquote look like it, look like the stereotype of what depression looks like. But she knew that her son was struggling. He had been in therapy. He had been to psychiatrists. It was an ongoing issue that they were battling. And she said that her son made the choice, which I thought was very, very powerful. But he made the choice to end his own life. And she accepts and respects his choice. Like, it's his life. And he didn't want to do it anymore. And so he made the choice not to. And she was like, in order to love him, I have to respect his choices, which I was like, I don't even know what that is. That's more than therapy. I don't know if I really talked about this one here, and I'm not going into detail today if I haven't, but I've had two friends in my life 2 months apart when I was 13 or 14, 13, commit suicide. One of them was a very close friend. She's a year older than me. And then another one was a guy that was in my class. It's been over 30 years at this point since my friend committed suicide. And the last time I saw her, we were sitting on the steps of schools, the end of the school year. Actually, it was the middle of summer. There was something going on our campus during summer, and we were both there. And her brother was coming to pick her up early, because he was taking her to a Jodeci concert. And so for the last 30 years, every time I've heard a Jodeci song, every time I've been to a Jodeci concert, I've thought about her. Anytime I hear a really dope song, something that's really soulful, I think about her and be like, oh, Shalique would have loved this. Her death, particularly because of how she died, has been a constant in my life for 30 years. Which I only bring up to say, this is how I feel about a friend who wasn't my bestie. I can't imagine at all what that is for a mother. My heart breaks for Regina King. If we never saw her again, if she just decided, you know what, I'm done. I don't want to do public anymore. I don't want to be a celebrity anymore. Like, I'm over all this shit. I would have completely understood. That she has come back to us, I don't know if that's strength. I don't know if that's God. I don't know if that's therapy. I don't know if that's just, you know, she can't sit in the house all day because she's driving herself crazy. She was like, I need to get back to work. I don't know what her motivations are. I don't know what compels her to get out of bed every day. But God bless her. God bless her. Like, just, We have two more stories. I'm going to save both of them for Friday because I really got to get to this makeup appointment. The two things we're going to save: Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, has been sued for sexual assault. I think the woman is alleging that he tried to force her to give him oral sex. I think it's a he tried to. I don't think it's a he succeeded. But like, bruh, allegedly. The New York Times has the full lawsuit. So we'll go through the lawsuit like we usually do. And then last but not least, Jennifer Lewis. She also did a sit down with Robin Roberts. I watched Regina King on GMA, and then the next story was Jennifer Lewis. I'd heard buzzing about Jennifer Lewis lately. I just thought maybe it was something to do with the NAACP awards or award season, or I don't know. But she did a big interview with Robin. She fell. She said she was visiting the Serengeti. What's the Serengeti? Kenya is Masai Mara. Serengeti is the same land, but it's in another country. What country is that? Hold on. Tanzania. I call it Tanzania. When I was in East Africa, they were like, where? Tanzania? To see the zebras? We don't see zebras. We see zebras. I love that girl. She was so much fun. But yeah, she was in the Serengeti and she fell like 10 feet. She's fine now. She did the interview. She walked down the steps. I believe that was her house, which I was like, oh, she's done very well for herself. That Blackish money was good coin, but it looked like she lived there for a while because she's got like 90s artwork in there. Like, a bunch of her artwork looked like the cover of Terry McMillan books. I'm just giving you descriptions because that's how my mind processes things. Her fall happened like 2 years ago. I didn't realize I hadn't seen her in 2 years. But she said, yeah, she fell and then she recovered. They showed pictures of her in the hospital. They showed pictures of her, or pictures, videos of her laying on the ground, putting her on a stretcher, trying to take her for help. Like, it was really, really bad. And Robin asked her, she said, you know, this happened 2 years ago. Like, why didn't you say anything? And she said, I didn't want to tell you about my fall. Why am I tearing up? She said, I didn't want to tell you about my fall until I could get back up. Woo! She's being literal, but there's some testimony in those words. All right, I'm off to get my face beat and then go do this Ratchet and Respectable live. I'll talk to y'all Friday. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.